this spare cord, and when I'm not hiding from them, I'm listening to Radio Freak America. And if you're hearing this, I guess you are too.
Losing sight of what and who I was again. I'm so sorry if they see what I say. My son, you, I'm the cop, and I'm the man of my soul.
And it will never end, as far as you know?
It will never end. It will never
DJ
end.
Mollet.
The tone you will hear next will be the standard pitch.
You are listening to Radio Freak America.
Are giving you permission to change your long-distance provider to Quest Long Distance?
Yes.
You're giving your permission to change your local long-distance provider to Quest Long Distance, correct?
Yes.
I picked Quest Unlimited plan of $30 per month for the first 12 months with unlimited residential state-to-state, in-state, and if selected local toll voice calls within the United States, correct?
Whoa, for the first 12 months?
That's what it tells me.
Okay, welcome to RFA. I'm Duel. I'm joined by Stank.
Yo, what up?
And Bland.
Tinta.
Okay, yeah. Oh, is that 70 in Spanish?
Yeah, Babel fished it.
Very nice. Thank you very much. Okay, we're in a big-time hurry, so we got to get right to it. Let's start out with an announcement from Stank. He made a big one last show. Now he's got more information for everybody. Go ahead, Stank.
We now have the details. You can surf on over to rantradio.com. And Binary Revolution Radio has a date and time. We will be airing every Tuesday at 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern for an hour. You can go see it on the schedule. And we will be starting on July 8th, as in about a week from today. So hope everybody goes to check it out. And we might be putting up a pilot episode on the site very soon. We had to record a pilot to let Rant Radio know what the show was going to be about and like. So we might put that up to let everybody have the first pilot episode and then restart with number one live next week.
I think you should.
Yeah, I think
you should call that the hidden episode.
Episode.
Or the lost episode. I've heard it, by the way. It's very good. Actually, I listened to it twice. It's so good. And it's a week from yesterday, actually. I can't wait, personally. I will be listening. This is so awesome. I get to be a listener.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah, it's great. I get to just kick in and just enjoy, man. I love that. I love that, by the way. So, yeah, check that out. There's actually a link to Rant Radio at the bottom of Old School Freak. Go to the schedule page, and you will see Bin Rev Radio. There's no description yet, by the way.
Well, actually, there is. It went up just a few seconds ago, actually.
You're kidding me.
Nope, it's right there. It has the tagline, which, you know what? I'm not even going to say it on here.
Oh, come on. Say it on here.
No,
are you serious?
Yeah, it's up there. Go check it out.
Oh, man, you're killing me.
Yeah, well, I'll say it on here. The tagline is changing the world one hack at a time.
Yes, that is great.
Yeah, well, you know.
Fair enough. You know, I wrote it.
You know.
Okay.
I roll.
That's right. Yeah, you do. Yeah. You rock, Sore.
Actually, it took me a long time. Winter and I sat together and brainstormed some pretty crappy stuff.
Bin Rev Radio, because you depend on our tires, or, you know, something really bad.
Yeah, the Golden Arches, that one didn't work, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Because you get large fries with our show. Okay, Rax had one, and, what the hell, I'll bust it out. The revolution will be digitized.
Oh, that would have been, damn it,
shit, are you shitting me?
I suck so bad, what did I think of that?
Are you serious? I know, Rax is a genius, man, I'm telling you. If it wasn't for his morals and his ethics...
No wonder he gets all the chicks.
Oh, dude, are you kidding me? Oh, he's rolling in them. If it wasn't for his morals and his ethics, he could make so much money. Oh, dude. He would rule the world. He would own, as it were. Write to Sim or whoever runs that site and say, hey, change it to the revolution will be digitized. Trademark.
I might just do that.
Trademark 2003 Stink Dog.
I'm gonna steal it from Rex. Copyright Rex.
No, he said, send this to him. Have it be the slogan for the magazine, or the show, whatever. I think it's genius, man.
I really do like that. I might just do that. Thank you, Rex.
Thank you, Rex. And dude, thank you, Rex. Straight up, Rex named this show. Right? He was one of the, I guess we'll say, founding members. Right? Myself, him, and Condor. So he named Radio Freak America. That slogan. What else? Did he help us with Bin Rev? Or the logo?
The idea for the break tag for the
PR. Yeah, the break tag, dude.
The title, but he came up with the idea for the cover, and he's the one with the creativity.
Straight up, he's a genius. Straight up genius. Him and me, you know what? Put his marketing, you know, his marketing savvy with memes, you know, genius art and jamming skills, late jamming skills, dude, you could rule the world. They would have, like, these crazy freaking logos everywhere, and oh, dude, it would be awesome. We would rule, and we would make people think for themselves with our logos. I'm telling you, that's how you're going to rule the world. Okay, or you can rule the world with a website called oldschoolfreak.com. It's been down, actually. I'm sure everybody's noticed. Actually, a lot of people have noticed. I wanted to thank everybody for all the feedback and all the offers for help. Problems have been fixed. The site is back up, and actually, it's been getting hammered. Even Mute called me and said, "Dude, your site is slower than, you know, molasses and whatever the fuck that saying is." And it's because we put some good stuff up. We got the latest episode of In the Now. We've got a little episode of DDP Hack TV, which is a lot of fun, I must say. And there's lots more to come. So Old School Freak is back with a vengeance. We're not going anywhere. So send in your T-file, send in your photos. Actually, we'll talk about this in the future. Oh, I got a secret message for all the agents of freedom. Listen up, everybody. Send me your mail maps. I lost them, so resend them to me. If you got a new address, you want your old address, send them to me. We'll get your Old School Freak address pointed there. I think this is going to be, every show, every time I'm on the phone long distance, that happens. That is just so annoying. I don't know what the hell it is. Somebody's boxing me during the show, I guess. Let's start. This is going to be a freak-centric episode. Lots and lots of freak news. So let's start that right now. Ooh, got to get away from the porn one here. There we go. There it is. Been a long time. Tones are back. Let's start out with the biggest news, the biggest freak news in all of the nation. Bland got a new freak notebook. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, here it is.
Yeah. Ooh, it sounds like a nice one.
It is. It's good shit.
Please describe it. And speak up a little bit.
It's a miniature,
nice,
like a composition notebook.
Yes.
White and black, and
ooh,
has tasty black down the side.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, it's great. It's got like a lot of pages, pocket size. Just right now, it's already got 3, 6. It's already about 15 phone numbers in it.
Oh yeah.
And it feels good.
Doesn't it just feel, it's like satisfying. You're at that payphone, you can flip it open. And I tell you what, pocket size is key, okay? You don't want a 3-ring binder for your freak notebook, okay? You want something pocket size. And wear cargo pants, for crying out loud. You can stick all your boxes and your tools and your phone cards all in those pockets. Cargo pants and a pocket size freak notebook. Actually, there was a post on the Stinks forums, and it was, what is your... Well, I don't know if you said best or favorite or most useful, but what was your best freak tool? And there's a lot of good answers. Screamer came up with his voice, the genius, pure genius. I mean, that really is your most valuable tool. Well, I don't know. To me, I think, well, it is, but that's kind of inherent in the process, right? Your voice.
Just your brain in general.
Well, yeah. Who said that? Like, the best tool for hacking is your brain? Well, come on now. That's kind of obvious, I think. Literally, they mean tool, something that is not of your body that is useful to a human being. And to me, I wrote my freak notebook. Pen and paper, baby, is the most useful thing, the two most useful things you can have when you're freaking or hacking. Get that freak notebook, get your own, pocket size, stick in your cargo pants, have some fun. Let's move on to some more freak news. Actually, I got a lot of email. We're going to mix in a lot of feedback here, tons of email. I've been getting lots of email, and I really appreciate it. I love it. Keep it up. Let's start out with one from Nathan. He writes, hey, I listen to Old School Freak whenever I can. It's really great. Just like most people, I love the focus on technology as opposed to politics. Boy, I've been hearing that a lot lately. I just got something you should know about. I bought a Danger Hip Top, which is marketed by T-Mobile as the T-Mobile Sidekick. We discussed that previously, but he's got some good info here. Check this out. It's a small device. It's a cell phone, but more of a mini computer. For $40 a month, I get unlimited data usage and 200 monthly minutes. I can use AIM, web browser, email, address book, games, whatever, and on its large color LCD screen. Now, I started noticing that this thing is the ultimate freak tool. Ah, here we go, the ultimate freak tool. When you dial a phone number, it actually plays the DTMF tones out of speaker on the back, meaning it can be used as a tone dialer. Hell yeah. It turns out Steve Wozniak, thank you, random tone, Steve Wozniak was on the board of directors of Danger. Coincidence? You can also store all kinds of notes, which you know is super handy for freaking and stuff. Perfect, perfect timing. We were just discussing your freak tools, your freak notebook. Now you can use your Danger Hip Top. It has a full QWERTY keyboard, so typing is super fast. Check it out, www.danger.com. Another random tone. We're lucky tonight. That's three so far. Let's count. Let me keep track here. 1, 2, 3 random tones.
Maybe they're not random.
Well, you know, I don't think so. Every time I'm on the phone, long distance that is, actually that's the only time I'm on my landline, I get these tones. And it's different. I know it's not the call waiting tones, it's not the caller ID that's sent. These are some weird, wacky, like cut off DTMF or like they're bleeding into the line. It's very strange. I think it has something to do with me moving to Quest long distance. I really do.
I want to hear this on the recording because on my end it really almost sounds like a Redbox tone.
Really? Now the thing is, you can hear them on the episodes, I believe. I think you can. I know I can hear them clear as day. Can you hear them, Bland?
I hear one. It sounds like when you're on the phone with someone else and they have another call.
Right.
Kind of boxes out for a second.
Right.
I hear a really short touch tone and a box out.
Really? Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much what I hear. I think it sounds to me like I'm boxing out a DTMF tone. I just like hear the tail end of one. I'll analyze this more later. I'll check my caller ID too and see if anything's popping up. Like maybe I don't think it is a call waiting though. We'll see. Very odd stuff. Let me finish Nathan's email. Great email, by the way. I'm just waiting for the day when users can download custom apps to it and write their own apps. The only way to put apps on it now is to be a developer and get the special OS for development. People are building IRC clients for it, even SSH clients. Check it out later, Nathan. Thank you, Nathan, for the email. I checked it out when Rax had one. It was really nice. I mean, it rendered pages really well. The screen was phenomenal. I mean, much better than the old Game Boy Advances. This is a big, bright color screen. Very nice. And if it's a tone dialer, that would sell me right there. If I didn't have a cell phone and a bunch of tone dialers, I think I'd buy one of these just for that. Because a tone dialer, as we mentioned and as Bland has mentioned, are still very useful today. In fact, just when was it? Oh, where was I? I was killing time somewhere. I probably had a convenience store, banging on a cell phone or a payphone, and dialing. Man, I don't remember what I was dialing. I don't remember. But it needed touch tones, and of course, I couldn't use the touch tones on this. It was a Quest Millennium, right? And I dialed this number, and there was no touch tone. So, again, tone dialer would have been useful. Next email.
Actually, the part that sounded the best to that, to me, was right at the very end. He mentioned that it was going to have SSH, support for SSH.
If somebody's writing apps for that, yeah, I could see that.
It would be very helpful to me. That would be very handy for me because I find myself on a lot of occasions where I'm in a movie theater or wherever, out at the beach, somewhere away from a computer or away from access to a computer, but I'll get a call from work or I'll have a problem or a job halts or something like that, and the only way I can have access to it is to SSH into the machine. So that would be phenomenally useful to me.
Yeah, but that's okay, yeah. So I'd say for a sysadmin, that would be great. But for average Joe, average freak like me, you know, and Bland, personally, I don't think I would. If I need SSH, I'll take the USB key drive and I'll have access to a computer where I need to get to another one. But yeah, if you're a sysadmin, if you need hardcore access anytime, anywhere, especially SSH, then yeah, that's the way to go. I would think that would be phenomenally slow.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah, I'm sure it's not. But, I mean, it's only ASCII text that's gets sending across there.
True.
Yes, it's encrypted, which bulks it up a bit, but I don't know. I'd be curious to find out.
Yeah, I would like to see the speed of that. I mean, Bland and I were screwing around, and I had to get into my box in the other room, and I had, thanks to Slip, shouts to Slip, by the way, he's been helping me secure boxes. I didn't have access from the computer I was at. So I had access to Bland's, so I SSH'd to his, and then SSH'd from his into mine. And that was slow. So I can just imagine how slow it would be from this little, this little palm-top computer to a box using an SSH client. Who knows? Yeah, let's see. I can't wait to see. I can't wait to find out. And especially if people could write their own apps. Get Linux running on that. That'd be awesome. Okay, next. Total blackouts. You know, somebody could do that. What was it? I saw something. Somebody got Linux on something totally crazy. It was a Dell? It was like an iPad, but it was by Dell. I can't remember. They had to do it all from RAM. It was really cool. I think I saw it on Slashdot. Man, they could just get Linux running on everything. I love that. Love that about Linux. We were just talking about, I'm going to divert for a moment here. We were just talking about the wonders of Linux and the shittiness of Windows. I've been setting up a network at work, right? Got a Linux network I've been working with. Yeah, it works great. I wanted to stick XP on it, right? It has to be a heterogeneous network now for other people that need access. And, you know, Windows just sucks ass. I set it up. I know I set it up right. It's not difficult. I mean, it's very, very simple, right? They make it so, disgustingly simple. It is disgusting. But everything didn't work as it should, right? I'd set up a bunch of shares, right? And some would pop up on one computer when you logged in and some wouldn't on the other. And, it was just totally arbitrary, right? You did it right and it should work, but it doesn't. It just works when it decides to. Linux, on the other hand, if you set it up correctly, it will work correctly. If you don't, it won't work. So you figure out how to make it work, and then guess what? It does work. It's unbelievable how simple that is. You do it correctly, it functions properly. Isn't that nice? I like that, personally. Nice and simple. Cut and dry. It's very straightforward. Windows, no, you set up right. Oh, it just decides to work when it wants to work. And oh, no, you can't do that. And oh, you got to make another directory and stick those in this one so then you can view them all. It's just a bunch of shit. It is such a bunch of shit. Thank you very much.
Now, speaking of Linux.
Yes.
I actually have a request. If anybody knows anything, I was in, Borders Books the other day. And they have this, I don't know which one of them, there's several Linux magazines from the UK. They usually come with a CD and stuff.
Linux Format, that rocks.
Yeah, there's two or three different ones that they carried. I don't remember which one it was, but it was the current issue on the newsstands. It had a distribution of Linux in there. I should have just bought it, but I'm a cheap ass and I didn't want to pay $15 or $16 or whatever it costs. And American translated to American dollars.
Right.
But it had a distro in there that was bootable from a compact flash disk.
Nice.
What that was, I tried to remember it, and I tried for the life of me, but I didn't have a freak notebook with me.
Yeah.
So I want to know what that was, and I'm going to try that. That's one of my to-do projects is to try to put that on my Cassiopeia.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That is the coolest shit. You can just put Linux. They put Linux on everything, and I love it. That is so freaking cool. The Xbox, Cassiopeias, iPads, everything. It's awesome. It's the panacea, man. I'm telling you, that is the panacea. You know, I hope. And I'll go ahead and pimp this right now. We're going to be talking a lot about privacy at the end of the show. And I hope, right, that the people in power don't realize how powerful Linux is and they use that against us. Seriously, I thought about this. And I know I'm ranting, I'm talking about shit, I don't remember, whatever. And I shouldn't be using the show to do this, but I'm going to right now, I don't care. I guess this is the show for it. I hope, in one of my craziest thoughts, that, you know, the governments of the world don't realize the power, you know, and the capabilities of such a phenomenal operating system and these collection of GNU utilities, and use it, you know, to their nefarious means. And you'll see what I'm talking about when we touch on all this privacy stuff at the end of the show. You'll see, and consider that. Say, wow, Linux is great, we're using it. Yeah, well, guess what? I know they're using it already for certain applications, but what happens when Windows just doesn't cut it, right? When they don't want to be paying all those licensing fees for this, you know, for their huge, you know, monitoring worldwide projects, right? You know, they're going to need Linux. They're going to need huge clusters. They're going to need, you know, portable code that works on any kind of hardware. It's ideal. It is so ideal. So let's watch that. Let's watch that in the future. Maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe I'm just nutty, zany, wacky. Maybe not.
Hey, Duel?
Yeah?
And also, about the Linux class wars, man, the only kiddie distro is Windows.
Oh, thank you very much, Glenn.
I was like, I use Debian, right?
Yeah.
But I got love for Red Hat and SUSE and pretty much everyone but Mandrake, and that's all about personal preference.
Right.
If I liked it, should I use it? You know, Linux people of the world, unite.
Hell yeah.
I mean, you know, fuck a lot of the class war. Now, the BSD Linux class war, that's a little different. But, you know, people, you know, up with Red Hat, down with everyone else, you know, fuck a lot of that.
Right.
You know, gotta come together. You know, a house divided against itself will fall. So, you know, if Microsoft stands up and they're trying to cut everyone's throat, you know, that's a really bad thing. So, you know, and the last thing we need is infighting on the whole Linux thing. So, share the love, share a distro.
Wise words, my friend, wise words.
Good boy.
Very wise. Can't we all just get along?
That's right.
All just get along.
I'm hugging you guys. You can't see it, but I'm hugging you guys. Okay, the freak news has really diverted big time. Let's get back to the freak news. This email is from Total Blackout, and this is about 1-800, what did we call 1-800-WAKE-UPS? He's got an actual different number. Check this out. Okay, this company will give you one free test call by calling 1-800-FREE-WAKE. Again, that's 1-800-FREE-WAKE. First, I tried to Optivert and call, and it gave me a recording like, you have already tried 1-800-FREE-WAKE, call 1-800-WAKE-UPS. So then I did it without Optiverting, and I was able to make my one test call. Then I called back, and it gave me that you have already tried calling number shit. So I got mad and started pushing buttons on the phone, and during that I got this push 1 to set up callback, push 2 for he forgot. So I pushed 1 and I got it to call back after I already used it. I was wondering if you knew anything about that or whatever. Email me back if you want. Peace. Total Blackout. Thank you, Total Blackout. That is a good point there. Don't give up, right? Even if you have to get mad, don't give up. That's very cool. So first of all, everybody gets a free wake-up call calling 800-FREE-WAKE, which we did not mention. And then it'll refer you to 800-WAKE-UPS. Everybody try that out. Let me know how it goes. I'm going to try it out because I know I have it from my number. And let's also consider spoofing. Maybe you can spoof a little ANI and use it. And I think it would be very, very fun to use on your friends who like to sleep in late. So, again, 800-FREE-WAKE and 800-WAKE-UPS from Total Blackout. Thanks. Next, and Jaga's, man, Jaga's been the shit. He's been sending a lot of good stuff. Was that another tone?
I didn't hear it.
Huh. Maybe I'm tripping. Okay, Jaga wrote, this is actually a PS to his email. Check this out. I tried to call Iraq just to see if it could be done. Guess what? That country code has been disabled on T-Mobile prepaid. The error message says the service you are attempting to use has been restricted. Check that out. You cannot call Iraq. Interesting. I wonder if the feds have anything to do with that. That's not conspiracy theory there. It's just, hey, maybe they really did. T-Mobile restricted that. I don't know why they would. I mean, it's money, right? It's probably a very expensive call. Maybe they just don't have the capabilities. I mean, the system in Iraq. Interesting. So, cannot call Iraq from T-Mobile prepaid. If anybody else can't call Iraq from their certain service, let us know that as well. He also mentioned, the actual email was about, by the way, it's Vonage. You were correct, Stank. It's not Vonage, it's Vonage. And I actually saw a TV commercial for it. So it's becoming big time, and of course there's also a competitor that Not Theory talked about on Stink's boards, and it's called Packet 8, I believe, and he wrote in about that. So check Stink's forums or go to packet8.net, and I don't know if it's a C-K, P-A-K-E-T, or P-A-C-K-E-T.
I don't think there was a C.
Okay, he does not have a C. Okay, so it's P-A-K-E-T, 8.net. And it's cheaper. It's $10 cheaper than Vonage. So check that out. And thank you for the email, Jaga. Shouts to Jaga big time. He, well, he's just been sending a lot of stuff, and he's been very gracious, offered a lot of help. So he's the shit. And if you don't know who Jaga is, check out the last fundraiser of Off the Hook, and you'll hear him. He's a good guy, very good guy. Next, oh, you know what? Jaga also sent in about this. I didn't know it was up until he sent me an email. The National Do Not Call Registry. It is up. It is up and functioning. And we'll all talk about our... Oh, this is going to be good. We got some good stuff about the Do Not Call Registry. First, I did it. It said it would send you an email in a few minutes, right? Well, it didn't. And it was over a day and it didn't send me one. So I did it again. And then shortly after, I received an email thinking that the first attempt did not work. But guess what? It did, because I received an email afterwards. I guess it was getting slammed really hard. So... I did do it. I did register my phone number. I got a registration complete page that it says to print. Please print a copy of this page for your records. And it was simple. It was very simple. You go to, is it donotcall.gov?
.gov.
Check that out. Actually, I have a link on oldschoolfreak.com. And do it yourself. If you have any weird stuff that happens, let us know that as well. I mean, you know, and I always say that. Let us know. Share. And I want you to share. We get all these great emails. So guess what? I can talk about it on the show. Bland can discuss something. Stan can talk about something on the show. And everybody will know. And we will spread that knowledge. And nothing will be hidden from us. That is the whole point, to share. And share as much as we can. All right, now. Who was it? Was it Bland or Stank that had the crazy, crazy time with Do Not Call?
Well, Bland, you may have had one too, but...
Well, all right, let's go with Bland's first. Bland, how many numbers did you do?
Three
numbers, and did you do cell numbers? I bet you did.
Yeah, I did two cells.
Cells, okay. Now, see, I didn't know if cells were a different case than home numbers and landlines. Maybe not, because I get very few calls from people. I mean, people have to have my number. Like the last, well, I don't know what show it was that my provider called, my cable provider called, because they have my number. It's my primary number. I don't know if that would work, if that has any difference, you know, as my cell number. So you did two cells and one home?
Yes.
Okay, and all went without a hitch?
Yep.
Very nice. And Stank, how about you?
I wish I could say that.
Aha! There's the crazy story.
Well, before I give the crazy story, I'm going to give a 30-second mini rant.
Please do.
First of all, I was so happy, and I knew this was coming up. I was waiting for it to come up. The site was absolutely gang-banged. The second it came up, I went into work. I got into work around 8-ish.
Yeah.
And I tried to get on that thing all day. I didn't get on until about 3 in the afternoon because the site was down constantly. I finally got it in. I also put in my cell number. And my mini rant is that as I was putting it in, I was so happy. I'm like, finally, they did something. Finally, it's happened. But at the same time, the back of my head, I just finally, something else sunk in that said, how fucking pathetic is it that we have to have such a system? And I lost some more faith in humanity. It's a big thing, and I'm glad we got it, but I still can't help but feeling how pathetic it is that we have to do such a thing in the first place.
Well, come on, good or bad, it's the evolution of technology, and we have to adapt.
Yeah, and it's great that we have it. It's just so disappointing sometimes that society has degraded to this, to have us in this situation where we have to save ourselves from ourselves.
All that matters is money. Big corporations and their money, and then their programming, the greed, and there's another tone.
Oh, we're venturing into territory they don't want us to talk about.
Yeah, that's right. Question, oh no, they can't talk about greed and how we're programming people to consume. Straight up, that's what it's about. People are programmed to consume. Right?
Here's the funny part of the story. That I went on there, and you know, this is a don't spam me, don't call me, don't give me this salesman calls, don't leave me the hell alone. That's what it is, the leave me the hell alone list. So I went on there, I put in my numbers, I put in my parents' phone numbers, and I put in my cell phone number. So I put my three numbers in and submitted it. Of course, it got the same email saying it'll, you know, that you'll get the email soon. It didn't come right away, so I said, the heck with it, I was at work, and you know, I said, when I get the email, I'll click on the link to finish it off, and I never got the email. So I thought the same as you thought. I had read and heard that they were getting 200 hits per second, 200
yeah.
registrations per second.
That's what I heard.
You know, that it was just getting nailed. So I'm patient. You know, I'm like, I've waited all this time. I can wait another day or two if the email takes a while. And the next day I came into work and it still wasn't there. And by the end of the day it wasn't there. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I go out. I'm just searching through the news, nothing specific why it didn't happen, and I stumble across a little anecdote that just struck me as so incredibly ironic. I registered the email account that I gave. I have a Yahoo account that I use for just such web things. I don't want my email going out to everywhere, so I set up a Yahoo account so that they can spam the hell out of that, and I can just change it whenever I feel like it.
Right.
So I send it to my Yahoo account, the confirmation message. Well, the ultimate irony, while trying to stop myself from getting spammed, when they sent the confirmation to Yahoo, myself and millions of other Yahoo Mail customers had the confirmation email blocked by the spam filter.
Yeah.
Yahoo Mail.
Nice.
I couldn't even confirm it. I mean, if I was a total conspiracy theorist, I'd say they fucking are trying to not... They put it out there just to tease me. It's nothing but a big cock tease. And they won't give me the confirmation email.
That is awesome. That is so awesome.
Well,
I
have to go and do it all over again with a real email address now.
Yes, you do. Why would they think that was spam?
Maybe the spam filter is not very smart, and it just saw, like, thousands or, I guess, millions of emails coming from one address, and they're they automatically went, whoa, whoa, it's got to be a spammer on that mail.
Way to go, Yahoo.
Lock the server.
Damn. That just sucks ass, dude. You're trying to... You are cursed by your own technology. That's hilarious. So, check out donotcall.gov. There's a link on the site. Speaking of getting spammed telephonically... This is actual spam text messages on your phone. Get the cell phone. Your spam is calling. You know, we don't have much time, so I'm not going to read this article. There's some good stuff in here. They talk about, here we go. Cell phone numbers are assigned in blocks of about 10,000 units, Chamberlain said, making it easier to predict existing numbers. For example, if someone's last four digits were 1111, it is likely the same numbers would exist for the last four digits, 1112, 1113, and so on, he said. So that's how people send spam to phone numbers. I've actually received spam on my cell phone, actually Spanish, the same message twice. Let me find it here. Have you guys received any spam text messages on your cell phones?
Ever.
Never. I have.
But remember, I just have a new phone for, you know, less than, right at 2 months, so.
Yeah. Here, where is it at? There we go. One is from, it's from serve, check out this, you know, it's an obvious spam email address. serve_pr_aqfs@hotmail.com. Felicidades. Llame y reclame su premio 305-371-7144. Gracias. I don't know what that means. Felicidades, I think it means greetings. And then there's a text line at the end, HXTSQSUW. I don't know what that is. So I received the same message telling me to call 305-371-7144. Who knows? Maybe it's some forwarding number and it'll give you, you know, a $500 phone call on your next bill. Let me go back. Let me find the other one and see where that came from. I bet you it was another Hotmail address. Cellular, misspelled, C-E-L-U-L-A-R, unless that's Spanish for cellular, _CA@hotmail.com, the same message, call 305.
It is actually Spanish for cellular.
It is? Okay, good. Boy, I'd like to call that number. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll call it later, record it, see what happens. 305-371-7144. So I've received this kind of spam. I would expect more of it. You know, it's easy, at least in my town, to know the exchanges. I mean, you know one exchange, you know, if the exchanges are only for the cellular companies. So if somebody gives me a certain exchange, you know, XXX, I know, hey, you're with that provider. There's no question. So that's very easy, and you could just go through the 10,000 numbers right there, and there you go. Just what that article said. So it's very easy to send spam. Very easy to crack voicemail boxes as well, by the way, with default passwords. Expect a lot more of that. Apparently, it's a big problem in Japan and Europe. And I don't know if we're going to see a lot more of it here or not. I don't know. I don't know how the cellular company is going to handle this. So I can't wait. I wish I could have read this. We don't have the time. But if you do... get the cell phone. Your spam is calling. Where did I get this? The Houston Chronicle. So check that out. I'm sure you can search and get a bunch of stories about cell phone spam. Is that all the freak news? Wow. That's shorter than I thought. No, I'm sorry, there's lots more than that. I ran into, perusing my local phone book, which I am prone to do, the white pages, a guy, some man, with like 50 numbers in the white pages. And this was a person, not a company.
50 numbers?
Like 50 numbers. He had 50. He had a lot of numbers. Maybe not 50. He had a damn shitload of numbers.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and they went to about two or three addresses. And I have no idea why or how. If anybody's seen this before, if anybody's run into this, they know what it's about. If this guy's running a call center out of his home, if he's got an escort service, woot, right? Is that woot? Then I can understand. But actually, I called a few. One was disconnected. One rang forever. I mean, it rang like 15 times, and then it just beeped. I don't know if it was a voicemail or an answer machine, whatever, but very strange things happening in the phone book. Go through your phone book. Check stuff out. I mean, seriously, wherever I travel, I grab a phone book, man. First thing I do, I get to the hotel, I bust out the phone book. You know, I'm on the can, flipping through, check the yellow pages, check out the white pages, just check stuff out. You never know what you might find. I also bring them home, usually, because they're very useful. Very useful. Also, going through the phone book, I noticed that this is actually an 01 or an 02 phone book, you know, a little older, and it said Montgomery Ward's, and it had the huge list of all Montgomery Ward's numbers. Of course, they're out of business, right? They don't exist anymore. But they existed then, and they had a lot of phone numbers, and guess what? All of those phone numbers are bad. Bad phone numbers. And guess what? Bad phone numbers are very useful. Bad phone numbers are good. And especially if they're easy to remember. I mean, this, you know, the Ward's had a very, very nice number, you know. It's almost a vanity number. Super easy to remember. Very easy to spit off the top of your head like it's really your number. And somebody's going to get a disconnected error message. So, very useful. Check that out. Grab old phone books if you can. There's a lot of good info in there. And finally, in the Freak News, I think this is it. Let me check. Yeah, this is the end of the Freak News right now. The last thing, we discussed this. Was it last show or the show before? Anyways, it's Project Walmart Freedom. That's right, PWF, baby. It is on full and hardcore, and we've got some goods for you. We've already started collecting numbers, right? And what is Project Walmart Freedom? It's a little retail freaking. We want to get all the payphone numbers for all the Walmarts in the world. Well, maybe not the world, but a lot of Walmart payphone numbers. But not only payphone numbers. If you want the number to the Walmart, extensions, anything, we're going to start collecting it. They're this huge, multinational, giant conglomerate, the largest company, corporation in the world. They deserve the best treatment a freak can give it. And that is Project Walmart Freedom. We are going to give you, anybody who sends in a bunch of crap, anybody that sends in, check this out. Here's what we're going to do. And actually, Bland thought this up and offered what we're going to give you right now. To the person who sends in the most or the best information about Project Walmart Freedom, right? Whether it be payphone numbers, whether it be phone numbers, extensions, pictures of payphones, right? Anything. Pictures of their regular phones. Anything. Retail freaking at Walmart. We're going to give you... Go ahead, you tell them, Bland.
They're going to get an at binrev.com email address.
Oh, yeah. And another person will be chosen for the second best amount, stuff, quality, information, you will get an oldschoolfreak.com email address. That's right. And we are going to compile this huge list. I mean, that's going to be awesome. We're going to have payphones to take incoming calls. We're going to have tons of extensions. We're going to have lots of fun. If you got any paging extensions, that would be useful as well. Actually, you don't need those. Just go to the store and it says page right on the button. You pick it up and press it and you get on the intercom system. It's so easy. It's sick. So, Project Walmart Freedom is going full blast. So if you want a binrev.com email address or an old school freak email address, send us in some stuff. We'll just pick two out, you know, the best information, the best quality, and you'll get them. And we'll start posting this stuff up. Maybe we'll make a page, you know, pwf.oldschoolfreak.com, and you know, we'll just start amassing this stuff. Because I mean, I can't tell you how it blows my mind. I've talked about it in the past. This gigantic, you know, building of consumerism. It's sickening. So we're going to give them the old school freak treatment. That's the freak news. Man, I have been going off big time on this show. Non-stop. And it's strange because I'm definitely off the juice. We're going to talk about a lot of privacy right now. We've got a few minutes left. We got some pretty important stuff to talk about right now. I want to start out with the Pentagon's plan to track and record every vehicle within a city. This is really kind of sick. Naturally, when you hear stuff like this, what do you think of? You think of DARPA, right? The Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. What is this? What is this plan that the Pentagon has in store for us, that it could track and record vehicle movement in a city anywhere in the world? Oh, this is unbelievable. Okay, and of course, everybody knows about all the monitoring cameras in London, right? That the average Londoner gets photographed 300 times a day. There's cameras everywhere. Whatever. Well, the Pentagon wants that, and they're pimping this, of course, for military uses. But they want the same thing. They want cameras, rapidly deployable cameras, and computers in a giant system to be able to track vehicle movement and maybe movement of people on foot in any city around the world. So what would this mean? This would mean that they'll deploy cameras in, you know, strategic spots, covertly, overtly, I don't know. And basically they'll correlate, they'll have to record everything, right, or take shots, or at least identify. I think the computer system would actually identify vehicles by shape, size, maybe even color or license plate, and then make a huge database, and then they can correlate this database between other instances of said vehicle. Pretty sickening stuff. Sure, it would probably be very useful if you were, I don't know, helping a country and a city get back to democracy, like Baghdad, like maybe Mogadishu, I don't know, probably not many cars there, but yeah, I guess it could be very useful. And if it could save trips, hey, I'm all for it, that's right. Well, but guess what? That technology probably has a, well, dual purpose, pardon the pun. It could be used to watch us here on our very streets, on your streets, right? Your frickin' driveway, for crying out loud. Stick them up in high crime areas, and you get to track everybody all the time, and you'll see what's happening, and nobody can get away with anything, which, it's not about getting away with stuff, but, man, I don't want to be watched, I don't want to be tracked, you know? You can spot my lowrider a mile away already, you know? What the hell? You don't need a camera to say, hey, that's Bill's lowrider, for crying out loud. No, you don't, but they want to do that. Look forward, please. Read stuff like this and consider the possibilities of the future, okay? Don't just say, hey, this is great. I'll take what the media tells me, and it'll be good for our troops overseas. No, well, guess what? It could also be good to track you in your hometown. So that's the first story about privacy, and we're going to inject our messages, what we think is important, with each story. What's the next one, guys? You know, Walmart again. Great.
Wally World, our favorite.
Our favorite place, Walmart. PWF, baby. Project Walmart Freedom. That's our freedom. You know what this is? This is a revolution. Just like Binary Revolution, this is a revolution. This is freedom from Walmart through their phones. We will use their phones to gain our freedom. Okay.
If they're going through with what they're proposing, what I'm about to tell you, it'll be more than their phones that we're hacking. It'll be a whole lot more potentially deadly to the company if they go through with what they're
doing. Oh, yeah.
Now, if they poorly implement what they're trying, I should say.
This is sick. This is so sick. Go on, Stank.
Well, we've talked about it a long time, probably several episodes ago, about RFID, or radio frequency identification. Basically, RFID is, I guess, anybody who buys DVDs might see something similar. Those little anti-theft stickers that they put in there, it's a little magnetic strip, something like that. It's a little device that is a microchip and an antenna. And they can slip this in basically any product. You can put it inside the cardboard box. You can put it on the side of a can. You can put it on clothes. And obviously, bigger stuff is easier. But Walmart is going ahead. They announced that, it was called the Uniform, them along with the Uniform Code Council. That's the people who control the UPC codes. they presented along with them at the Retail Systems 2003 show that the CIO, Linda Dillman, announced that they would be going ahead with RFID rollout limited by January 2005.
Really?
So what that means to Walmart shoppers is that when you go to check out, you don't have to wait in those hellacious lines. Theoretically, this sounds like it could be a great thing, but like everything else, they're going to fuck it up. I can already see it coming. You can roll up to the cash register, roll up through the checkout lane. I'm sure there's going to be some equipment. But basically, since everything has its own little antenna and sending off its own little signal, or being picked up, I should say,
right,
when you go through that checkout, instead of having to scan that UPC code, which has the information and database and the price of the item that you're scanning through there and bleeps up, you know, everybody's heard those damn beeps. Now, when you go through there, it's going to detect that radio signal instead of having to scan the item. So you can actually roll your whole cart right up and through all at the same time. It will pick up all of the signals. You might have to push it somewhat, so I'm sure you can't go flying through there like a press kit, but...
Yeah.
If you go through the checkout, it will read all of those RFIDs and give you an amount, look them all up the same way it does the UPC, and let you check out potentially faster, easier, and sounds like, you know, that's a pretty good thing, a step towards the future. But the problem here, if they don't do this right, which I just don't think they will, is... How are they going to stop people from tampering with these RFID, especially people who know and understand how they work, people who know how radio frequencies work and how to create their own, or even, let's say I go in and I check out a pack of gum and I pull off the RFID and take it back in and stick it on something else. You know, how are they going to tell when people do this kind of stuff?
Well,
Not only that, but another thing that a lot of stores have done here in the past few years, and I don't, maybe you guys can confirm this if you've ever seen this at your retail stores, but you can scan coupons. They have UPC codes on coupons, and they just scan the coupon and beep 50%, 50 cents off or whatever.
Right.
What's going to stop people from making negative amounts? Yeah, I'll walk through with a cart of $100 worth of merchandise, but I'm also going to have my own little hacked UPC that does a negative 50 on that amount, too.
Right, right. Oh, yeah. Let's ponder this for a moment. I mean, first of all, I think just like EAS, Electronic Article Surveillance, the tags themselves, RFID tags, will be integral to the packaging. It'll be done at the manufacturer. You won't have access to it, or it'll be hidden, whatever. So I think that takes care of that. But jamming... Right, that's a possibility. Maybe shielding, if you get an expensive item, a small expensive item, putting in some other article that can shield it. That's another point. And also, how are you going to pay? There's actually an older IBM commercial, I believe, about that same thing. This guy, a shady looking guy, big black coat, walking around a store, stuffing stuff in his jacket, right, his huge jacket, and walking out looks like a suicide bomber. Hey, that's number five. Hold on, let me mark that down.
Oh, why? Because you said bomber. That's what happened.
Oh, man. You're right. That is terrorist. That's number six. No, wait. Was that number five or number six? I got five here. I think that was number five.
Yeah, I think that's five.
That was five. Five tones. Okay. Okay. All right. Where was I at? Oh, yes, the commercial. And he walks. The security guard's looking at him, watching him. And the guy just starts walking out the store. And the security guard stops him. Hey, sir, you forgot your receipt. And gave him his receipt. Obviously, RFID technology and all the items. The gentleman had some type of, I don't know, Prox card or some type of identification or payment method on his person that was sensed by the same computers and paid that way. But he forgot his receipt. Ha ha. And the security guard stopped and gave it to him. So, payment. That's another thing. How are we going to pay? Are they going to inject you with an RFID? No, that's silly. I know, but are you going to get like a Prox card, like a debit card with an RFID chip in that, and then you're going to pay that way? You're going to have a smart card that you just swipe as you go out. Who knows? There's going to be lots and lots of ways to do this. I guarantee you, the money they're going to save by you pushing a cart through at a time. Other than having, you know, because where's the big cost, right? Labor. Having somebody scan each item is going to be phenomenal. Their profits are going to skyrocket. The return on investment here is huge. So they want this bad. So they're going to research it, and they're going to make sure it works well. This is going to be a hardened system. I think there's going to be a lot of ways that people are going to think about how to hack it, but I think, honestly, it's going to be pretty difficult because there's going to be a lot of money at stake, and money is everything, baby, everything. They've got the resources to do it, I guarantee it.
I do predict that there will be a rise in shrinkage. They're going to lose money. There is going to be more mistakes. But, yes, the money that they save by having to hire less cashiers because the lines are moving faster and the equipment that they have to buy, those scanners and repair and maintenance, et cetera, they're going to save so much more that, yeah, it's definitely, it's not going anywhere. It's going to happen. It's going to evolve, and it's going to be around in the future.
Right, and I think it's going to be easier to track your buying habits. I think that's a very bad thing.
And you know what else they're probably going to do? You were saying, are they going to assign you an RFID debit card or something? What they might do is work something out where you can pay for it from your cell phone. Like in Japan, you can pay for a lot of stuff with your cell phone, to the vending machines, or buy a Coke and things like that.
Get your porno.
Yeah, you go. And then they got it tied to your cell phone, so then you start getting marketed spam. So when you buy your porno, or when you buy your inflatable sheep doll, you buy these things. Now they're going to start, instead of getting Spanish spam, you're going to start getting marketed, you know, targeted advertising.
That's right. That's right. Geisha girls, 99 cents. Yeah, it's
again.
The world is changing. It's going to change fast, and we as hackers and freaks need to stay on top of it with things like PWF, Project Walmart Freedom, with things like researching RFID technology. I actually have, this made me think of, I actually have, from a great dumpster dive, an EAS tape. A corporate EAS instructional video from a large book retailer. And I'm hoping, and in fact, let me make a note right here, next to the accounts of Weird Tones. Transfer video. I'm going to try to get that transfer to an MPEG and let everybody see it. And this will give you a start, right? It'll give you a place to start to research this technology, and we will be ready. Right? They're going to be working on it and spending lots of money. Yeah, guess what? We're going to just be doing it for fun, and we're going to know everything there is to know about it. The next story... Oh, this one's from Bland. This is a good one right here. Very, very apropos. I'm sure a lot of people in the community are in school, whether it be high school, even earlier, high school, or probably college. This is scary right here. The 200 worst colleges for civil liberties. Is that correct, Bland?
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Caught this on the screensaver tonight, as a matter of fact. They were running down the top, they only did the top five, because I believe they are in San Francisco, and UC Berkeley is right around there. So Berkeley was number five on the list. What it is, Wired Magazine made a list of the most egregious offenders of student civil liberties. And I thought I had it bad when my social security number was everything but my fucking parking permit at college.
Shit.
And
I'm going to laugh if my university's on this list.
Yeah,
really?
Sure it is. They go pretty deep. But number one was like Yale or Princeton, one of those Ivy League universities.
Really?
But what it is, at Berkeley they have, it's almost akin to carnivore, but it's a lot more like a two-way snort. Not only does it log anything trying to come in from intrusion detection, but it also logs everything that goes out. So all the packets that you send to different websites and things like that, it logs them all. And ostensibly, it is so that computer security is a two-way thing. You know, if you hook up to a malicious website and it uses, it installs Sub7 or whatever on your computer, then the IT team can go in there and look and see how you got it and block that site from their list or whatever. But it's really a lot for, the packets that you send and packets that are sent to you, and they just really fuck the students. I mean,
sounds like it.
It's not going to take any time at all for them to start seeing packets assigned or packets sent to, Music City or, Kazaa or Morpheus or whatever. And then when the RIAA comes in and starts cracking down on these people that are trading songs in their dorm rooms, you know, this is all going to be evidence. So instead of the colleges protecting the students' rights and really trying to stand up for the students and, you know, letting the students make fair choices and grow up a lot, which is what college is fucking all about,
Yeah. Instead
they're logging all these things so that when the RIA comes in, university can just roll right over and keep their government funding and, you know, send their fucking students up the river.
Fuck. That is brutal. That is so brutal. You're so right. Isn't high school and college supposed to be like that? I mean, especially college. High school is more like prison, right? But college, it should be about exploration. It should be about sharing and making new things and talking with people and communicating. But no, it's just, it's fucked up. It's just getting so fucked up. That is brutal. That is so brutal. You know, I guess I was fortunate, right? I was fortunate to finish before all this started, I guess. Yeah, my college was pretty much the same way. Social Security number was everywhere. Didn't like that a bit. Not quite like that, though. Not even close. It was pretty free, you know. Very free compared to what that is.
I mean, I got away with some dumb shit in college.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're supposed to, though, right? I mean, you're so right. That's what it's about. Unbelievable. So check that out. That's in the latest Wired magazine?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I might buy that just for that article. We got about 10 minutes left. I tell you what, let's, Stank, I guess we'll give it to you, man. We got something right here that that Stank feels very strongly about, and we might as well end the show with this. Stank, please.
Well, you know, privacy is just something that it is a right. It's not a privilege, and unfortunately, it seems like lately, it's a privilege to have privacy instead of a right, and it's very disconcerting. And it's, you know, we've said before, first of all, that, you know, I love this country. You know, there's a lot of great things about it, but there's also a lot of problems. And the sad thing is that I think we're going in the wrong direction. I think the country's getting worse. I think the country is not addressing problems and evolving forward. I think we're de-evolving. And, you know, this total information awareness is just another form of that. The Total Information Awareness Act is basically the government attempting to create a giant database of every single bit of information that they can get on every single person on the planet. They want to create a database that has as much as they can find out about you. And when I say you, I mean you sitting there listening to this right now, listening to the stream, listening to the MP3 player. They want to know that you're listening to us. They want to know that you're listening to this show. They want to know that you visit the website. They want to know all of the websites that you visit. They want to know what TV you watch. They want to know every tiny tidbit of information that they can about you so that they can data mine that database or those databases and try to see if they can find a pattern. Try to see if there's something about what you do or where you frequent or what you buy and see if you might be doing something illegal. You might be doing something wrong. You might be doing something that they don't agree with. There are so many things that people don't understand, the government most of all. So it's scary thought that because I run a hacking website, because I'm on a radio show about free speech and fuck the media and talking about how fucked up the government is, that if they were to data mine me with this Total Information Awareness Act, I would probably be at the top of their fucking list. And that's a scary thought. They think that they have fooled us recently. And I'm sure some of the listeners have know this, but some may not. The Total Information Awareness Act, just the title itself, just the name sounds scary. Total Information Awareness. Think of that. That is Big Brother. That's it. That's absolutely what it is. And people are realizing that, and they are not put at ease by this, thinking, oh, the world's a safer place thanks to the thanks to the TIA. It's going to be a better place, and it's going to be freedom, and we're going to be protected. No, they don't. And this is the saddest reflection. They changed the term from Total Information Awareness Act to Terrorism Information Awareness. From Total Information Awareness to Terrorism Information Awareness. They knew that people were scared when they hear Total Information Awareness. You don't need total information. You really don't. We know that the potential is there for the government to abuse this on us. And it's a scary thought. And changing it from the terrorism, changing it to the Terrorism Information Awareness Act is nothing but an insult to our intelligence. It's just a way to disguise the same thing. Nothing changed. Same program, same philosophy, same thought. But we throw the word terrorism in there instead of total to make people think, oh, it's the Terrorism Information Awareness. They're just going to find information on terrorists. No, they're still finding information on everyone so that they can label you a terrorist just because they think that you bought something that makes you terroristic. And every single person, whether you're a hacker, whether you're a freak, whether you just stumbled across this radio show for the first time, whether you have nothing to do with computers or hacking, you should be afraid that this is happening. You could do any little thing and they could label you a terrorist. They could label you a troublemaker. They can label you a criminal. And whether you do anything wrong, like I said, if you're a hacker, if you're not a hacker, if you're just a common everyday person trying to live your life, the government is watching you. They are watching everything you do. And if you trust the government to make that decision for you, you are just as bad as they are. You are as brainwashed as they are. They can come after you and arrest you under this new act. And it is a sad, this is the saddest, I hate to end the show on the saddest note that I can possibly come up with, but I think everyone listening and everyone not listening who unfortunately isn't getting this point, isn't hearing this, they should be afraid because the government cannot make decisions on their own. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're talking about, but they think they do, and they are going to start doing things, and they're going to start arresting innocent people. They're going to start bothering people who have done nothing wrong, and it's all under this false pretense that they are somehow saving the world. And when you have made your citizens, and of course this is the United States, when you have made the United States citizens afraid of the United States government, something is wrong with this picture. And it's a sad, sad existence that we live in a world where you have to think like that.
It is. Thank you very much, Snake, first of all. I know that meant a lot to you, and I want to make sure you had time at the end of the show. I want to make sure everybody realizes something, okay? Read between the lines, right? Extend what Snake is saying. He's not telling you, you know, be afraid so you literally are afraid and you're holed up in your home watching TV and buying stuff, you know, from the Home Shopping Network. No. What he's saying is, and especially for everybody in the community, right, the hackers and the freaks out there, right, the cultural jammers and the urban explorers, what he's saying is take that and move forward. Take that as your power and continue to go to these sites. Don't be afraid of it, right? Be afraid that the government could do that and then that it would be able to control you through such things as TIA. Give them, you know what, give them a million hits on hacker sites. Go get hits on... Oh, I'm not going to say it. God, maybe I'm a little afraid. I was going to say something else. Give them 100 million hits on hacker sites. Keep going. Move forward. Don't let them stop you.
The biggest message, the biggest thing is don't be apathetic. Don't let this happen. It is happening. You know why it's
right.
happening? Because nobody cares.
Right. Be afraid of it continuing.
Afraid, yes. People,
yes.
And they become afraid and
exactly.
they stop doing what they have a God-given right to do in this country. It's what this country was founded on, and you're stopping doing it out of fear.
Right.
The government is taking that from you. Do not let them. Do not vote people in. Do not support politicians that push this kind of stuff. Do not give your vote to people that are going to take your rights and your liberties away from them. Go out there, spread the word that this is wrong. Don't sit back and watch it happen and let it happen. It's wrong. It's wrong to be treated like a criminal in your own country for not doing anything. It's wrong.
Exactly.
Message. Go do everything you want to do and make them change. Don't change for them.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Stank. All right, we got to go. Stank, that was awesome.
I did it without yelling and cursing, I think.
Hell yeah, that was phenomenal. Is that like practice for Bin Rev Radio?
No.
That's very good.
Probably going to be 10 times more vulgar.
That awesome, awesome, sweet. Thank you very much, Stank and Bland. Bland.
Yeah.
Are you, okay, you're there. All right, you got that Bin Rev address ready for the Project Walmart Freedom?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us on RFA. See you in IRC. Later.
Bye.